So let's study now text number 12. Please repeat. Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye mata eveti tan vidhi nat vahang teshu te mayi. Now we look at the synonyms. Ye, all which. Cha, and. Eva, certainly. Sattvika, in goodness. Bhava, states of being. Rajasa, in the mode of passion. Tamasa, in the mode of ignorance. Cha, also. Ye, all which, matak, from me, eva, certainly, iti, thus, tan, those, vidhi, try to know, na, not, tu, but, aham, I, teshu, in them, te, they, mayi, in me. Translation, please repeat. Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am, in one sense, everything. But I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature. For they, on the contrary, are within me. So earlier in this chapter, in verse 7, there was a very, very heavy and most prominent verse. Matak parataram nanyat. In verse number 7 in this chapter, Krishna established himself as the Supreme. And there's nobody above him. That was a very significant verse. Krishna clearly said, there's nobody equal to me, there's nobody above me. Asamarva. So here, he continues to give us a more broader outlook. All states of being. Now there's only three states of being, goodness, passion, or ignorance. Yes, there's combinations of those, but these are the three basic colors. Just like when you paint, there are three basic colors. And you mix these three basic colors and you get all kinds of hues. So there are only three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But Krishna is saying, this is coming from me, it's my energy. So Krishna is then saying, in terms of the material world, everything you see actually is me. This was the same thing Krishna told the gopis when they met at Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. Krishna was philosophically reminding the gopis, there is no such thing as separation. Because everything you see, everything you touch, everything in existence should remind you of me, because it's coming from me, it's not coming somewhere else. So there is no such thing as separation, because wherever you look, it's Krishna. It's just a question of remembering. Maya is defined as that hallucinatory state or an imagined state of existence by which one thinks, oh, this is not Krishna. There is no Krishna. That's Maya. Just like, say for instance, Praveena. We'll just say, I'm not saying, just saying. Say Praveena goes into her room and says, okay, I'm going to close the door. Now mommy and daddy can't see what I'm doing. All right? But whose house is she in? She's in your house. So she may think that she can do something, but she's under your house. There is no, she's here. It's your house. So similarly, we think that we can do something and there's not going to be any reaction. But no, Krishna's energy is all pervasive. I may think that there's something separate that's not Krishna, but that's an illusion. That's a dream. Everything is under Krishna. So he's saying here, I am in one sense everything. Now, the next thing he says, but I'm independent. So yes, everything is Krishna, but he still has his own separate identity. Not that pantheism, oh, everything is God, and therefore there is no separate existence of God, so we'll worship everything. We'll worship this bottle of water because this is God. No, this is the energy of God, but God also has his separate existence. As he says here, I am independent. Then the next thing, very important, I am not under the modes of material nature. If Krishna was under the modes of material nature, then we would waste our time studying Bhagavad Gita. And that would negate Krishna being supreme. If Krishna was under the modes of material nature, then the modes of material nature would be supreme because he would be under their influence. That's why I'm saying this verse ties in with verse number 7 of this chapter. He's clearly establishing his superior, unique position. You and I, we're under the modes of nature, unless you are a self-realized pure devotee. But until you're a self-realized pure devotee, you are going to be affected by the modes of material nature. And you can't fake it. And we get to chapter 14. Krishna says, because Arjuna asked the question, how do I transcend the modes of nature? And Krishna is very clear. You have to engage in bhakti yoga 24/7, 365, 100. That's it. There's no other loophole. Unless you're 100% engaged in devotional service, because that's what it means to surrender to Krishna. To surrender to Krishna is not some lip service. Oh, okay, I surrender. No. Surrender to Krishna means put your money where your mouth is. Do devotional service 24/7, 365, and no vacation. Not that I do devotional service, but then I take a day off to go to Las Vegas. No. Going to Las Vegas means you're entering Tamodwaram, the gates of ignorance. So, surrender to Krishna is scientific. Are you 100% always engaged in bhakti yoga? 9 different kinds. Hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving, worshiping, befriending, surrendering everything, constant, all everything you have. When you are 100%, yes. So Krishna is saying, I am not under the modes of material nature. And Lord Chaitanya reminds us that if you think that when Krishna comes to this earth and that he comes under the modes of material nature, you're an atheist. Lord Chaitanya says you're a Pashandi. And there's no greater offender. Never can we think, oh, when the avatar, when Krishna comes, he becomes affected by the modes of nature. No. But does that include the rasa dance? Yes. Don't think that that rasa dance, Krishna was under, like we read in the previous verse, under kama. No. The rasa dance is a completely spiritual, transcendental activity. And so are the gopis. So Krishna may dance the rasa lila, he does not become affected. Neither do the gopis. We imitate Krishna, yeah. We'll get walloped by the modes of nature, for sure. As Prabhupada used to say, people want to imitate Krishna's rasa lila. That's as ludicrous as somebody trying to imitate Lord Shiva drinking an ocean of poison. Can you do it? Even you take one drop of poison, finished. But Lord Shiva drank a whole ocean, kept it in his throat. Did he die? No. So one cannot imitate the position of Krishna. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. They're coming from him. Okay, let's see what Prabhupada says in his purport. Srila Prabhupada ki. All material activities in the world are being conducted under the three modes of material nature. Although these material modes of nature are emanations from the Supreme Lord, what's his name? Krishna. He is not subject to them. For instance, under the state laws, one may be punished, but the king, the lawmaker, is not subject to that law. Prabhupada gives the example, and I think something happened this week. Sometimes you'll see a criminal gets on the freeway, and to escape the police, he's driving 100 plus miles an hour, right? So the police, the highway patrol, in order to catch the criminal, how fast do they have to go? They got to go as fast as him. And you cannot say, oh, highway patrol, you're supposed to go 65. You broke the... No. The state trooper, the state police, right, a highway patrol, he can go as fast as he wants. Nobody's going to give him a ticket. In fact, when he catches the criminal, oh, you're going to get a raise. You're going to get a medal. Okay? So that's the point here. That Krishna or an advanced devotee can do things which are seemingly in violation, but there's no reaction. Let's continue. Similarly, all the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna, but Krishna is not subject to material nature. Therefore, he is nirguna. This is the real meaning of nirguna. Because rascals will say, oh, nirguna means Krishna has no qualities. That's what the rascal will say. Oh, Krishna is senseless. Krishna is qualityless. Krishna has nothing. That's how they think. No. Krishna means, nirguna for Krishna means, yes, he is not under the modes of nature. Okay, more on that. Which means that these gunas or modes, although issuing from him, do not affect him. That is one of the special characteristics of Bhagavan, everyone say, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Lord Brahma was praying to Krishna, after Krishna bewildered Brahma, remember the story? Brahma tried to bewilder Krishna, but Krishna bewildered Brahma. So when Brahma offered his prayers, one of the prayers that Brahma said, he mentioned this nirguna and explained it. He said, yes, you're nirguna, meaning you don't have any mundane qualities, but you have all spiritual qualities. As I've said before, if Krishna didn't have any spiritual qualities, then why would Radharani be mad after him? If Krishna didn't have any spiritual qualities, then why are all the residents of Vrindavan constantly talking about him, describing him, serving him, thinking of him? It's because he's full of transcendental. We're studying in Nectar Devotion. How many transcendental qualities of Krishna? 60. That's just a sampling. He actually has achintya guna sarupam. He has inconceivable, ananta, unlimited. Rupa Goswami is just pointing out the chief main ones. But Krishna is unlimited. Therefore, one of his names, ananta, everyone say. So he has unlimited spiritual qualities. That's how he's nirguna. Not that he doesn't have any qualities. Nirguna means no material qualities. This is a very important point, because the rascal will say, oh, God is Nirguna, no qualities. No, that's the Mayavad impersonal. No, he's full of transcendental qualities. And transcendental qualities means anti-material, spiritual. Yes. Now we go to text 13.